WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Octavio Paz is one of Mexico's leading writers and intellectuals, as well as a former diplomat. Yale professor Roberto González Echevarría wrote of Paz that he's such a masterly presence in the dialogue of Latin American culture that it's easy to forget that he's first and foremost a poet. Paz was born in 1914 of mixed Spanish and Indian descent. His grandfather was a journalist. His father was a lawyer who fought in the Mexican Revolution and served revolutionary leader Emiliano Zapata as a diplomatic envoy in the U.S. Many of Paz's essays are meditations on Mexican history and identity. His 1950 book, The Labyrinth of Solitude, is considered a classic in Latin American literature. In it, Paz wrote, "To become aware of our history is to become aware of our singularity." Paz has published more than 40 volumes of poetry and prose. His new book, Sor Juana, is the story of one of Mexico's great poets, a 17th century nun who wrote in Latin, Spanish, and Nahuatl, the language of the Aztecs. Paz says Sor Juana's life mirrors his own and that he sees in her mind the destiny of the Mexican intellectuals of today.
I believe very much in that the poet has the subject, the real subject of the poet is time, one moment of time. But this time in our period of history is linked with public life. I don't want to make public poetry, but I try to find the poetry of always through the speciality, through the special events of our time.
It seems to me that you look to history to understand yourself and the things around you in the way that some people might turn to psychology.
Well, in some way, I think history is much more powerful than psychology. Psychology has to do with individuals, but history has to do with society, and you can understand better one person through the collectivity, through the spirit of a time.
You went to Spain during the Spanish Civil War. Did you go there to fight?
Well, I wanted to fight. I went to a Congress of Writers, anti-fascist writers, and I tried to enroll in, but I was not accepted. Perhaps it was a fortune. And then I stayed for some months in Spain, went back to Mexico to make some propaganda work for the Spanish Republicans.
Shortly after you were in Spain during the Civil War, you moved to France. And there you became, I think, part of a circle of surrealist painters and artists. And I was wondering if surrealism seemed artistically revolutionary to you at the time.
And yes, it was, you know, it was not only in the artistic sense, but in a deep way, surrealism was profoundly subversive. And in this sense, I was very much interested in surrealism. Many years, some years ago, talking with Luis Buñuel, who was a good friend of mine, he asked me, why did you become a friend of the surrealist? I said, I think for the same reasons that you, for moral reasons more than artistic reasons.
Well, if you found surrealism morally subversive, what kinds of things did it challenge for you in your own thinking?
Well, you know, the authority, the faith in authority, the in surrealism I love especially the love of freedom and the love of love. The affirmation that love, eroticism, is a force, a power who can change life. And also, surrealism is not only above reality, I should say, but the other side of the reality, the hidden side that is sometimes terrible and sometimes marvelous, but always surprises us.
You were telling us that surrealism seemed morally subversive and that for you it helped you challenge any faith in authority. It seems to me in your life you've really managed, however, to keep some kind of balance between history and art, between poetry and politics.
Yes, in some way. You know, politics for me has not been central, but I think we are condemned to politics as the medieval men were condemned to church life or to monarchy.
You have served your country as a diplomat, as well as a poet and intellectual. And it seems to me that intellectuals in many Latin American countries are taken more seriously by their governments than, say, intellectuals and poets in America are. I mean, you've been a diplomat. Carlos Fuentes has been a diplomat. I can't think of many many congruent examples in America of poets.
Yes, it's true, not too many. Well, the American society also is much more, is bigger, is much more complex than Latin American societies. I guess we are sometimes, we have collaborated with the government because there were not many people to fulfill this kind of missions.
Do you think intellectuals are taken more seriously in Latin America?
Yes, in some way, yes. I think one of the saddest things of the American scene now is that intellectuals have not the place that they should have. I think that's a great loss because, after all, in this country you have a very rich literature, great writers, and also great scientists. And I think all these people should have a saying in the public affairs.
I feel the need to bring this up only because it has been written about in the American press. The New York Times recently, in their book review section, had a front page piece talking about a conflict between you and Mexican writer Carlos Fuentes about conflict pertaining to professional rivalry and political differences. And I wonder if you cared to comment on that.
Well, no, I don't want to comment because I have nothing to say really about it, but it's a misunderstanding. I don't have any. I have a great friendship with Carlos Fuentes. He's a writer that I help when he starts to write. He's a good friend of mine. I think he's a very good novelist. Of course, we don't have the same political ideas in many aspects, and we have difference.
I haven't asked you to read any of your poems because I've been told that you don't like to read your poems in English because you don't like to read the translations.
Well, I love the translations of some of my poems. I think they have been very well translated. I have been very fortunate. But I will not. If a poem is a matter of language, and if you read badly, as I will do, I will destroy the poem. It will be a kind of suicide.
Like, what'd you say, like a suicide?
Yes, against my own poetry. Uh-huh. And again, yes.
But you have no problem with the way they've been translated.
Well, sometimes, a translation is never a real, it's another thing. When you translate one poem from one language to another language, you change the poem, and that is good, because you cannot translate exactly. You cannot produce a identical poem. Always is a approximation, and in the best case, is a recreation.
We also talked at the beginning of this interview about history and its importance in your writing, and a lot of people in America, when they think of history, have gone back to trace their own family history, their family roots. And I wonder if that's been of any interest to you in your pursuit of history, or if you're more interested in the culture and the national identity of Mexico than you are in the specifics of your own personal lineage?
Well, it's always a mix. I am, in some way, a Mexican, born in Mexico, but on the other hand, I am a man of the 20th century, and I try to unite both things. And in family life, is the same thing. I am the son of my mother and my father and my grandfather, etc., a family that in Mexico comes from the 16th century. But on the other hand, I am a man of everywhere. I belong to many places. I live in New York for years and then in Paris and in the Orient. And then I think we have two loyalties, the loyalty to our country and the loyalty of our time. And we must try to understand both. You want to make something personal, something creative with this heritage.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I was very pleased to hear you.
Octavio Paz is a Mexican writer and poet. His new book, Sor Juana, is published by Harvard University Press. This is Fresh Air.